We can raise the hearing. Thank you. For carry on, just check and make sure that we have any votes from the council has a form, please. Any rays of sunshine on the traffic front?
Oh, no.
In that case, we carry on.
Before I ask Jill to present her summary, it occurs to me as we rise for morning tea that there is a risk that we are slightly at cross purposes about our understanding of the Wanaka Town Centre Zone provisions. Our understanding of them is that there isn't a requirement for off-site car parking, so on-site car parking in the Wanaka Town Centre Zone. And that what we were seeking is to be on all fours with that, rather than seeking an advantage over the rest of the Wanaka Town Centre Zone. Now, if we are wrong in that somewhere in the proposed plan there is a requirement for on-site car parking in the Wanaka Town Centre Zone, then we apologise, but we're not aware of it. So that's why we are where we're at, which is we want to be on all fours with the rest of the zone, not having some kind of advantage over the rest of the zone. So, with that, hopefully, item clarity, then we can move on to Jill's urban design. Jill, have you given up your summary?
No.
Ah, there you go.
No.
Yeah, I don't have the copy, sir. Is the new one on my pass? I have seen. Jill's evidence looks slightly more extensive than what you might expect to see for a summary, but the difficulty we had when Jill was preparing her summary was that, of course, prior to preparing her evidence in chief, she hadn't had the opportunity to see Mr. Faulkner's evidence. So
this is the rebuttal of the rebuttal?
Kind of, yeah, because we didn't have any urban design evidence to work with at the time our evidence in chief was done, other than Jill's. So this is, I've asked her to comment on Mr. Faulkner's evidence because that way we get the relative expertise who's had the opportunity to see each other and even know what they think of each other's evidence.
Well, I'm sure you understand and accept that the council will have the final opportunity for comment on the council's reply. I'm happy to get as much assistance as we can from you.
Well, we are intending to be helpful. Of course, that reply right remains regardless. So, in that context, I'll ask Jill to read her evidence.
Summary statement. Right. I can start part way through the first paragraph, the introduction.
Yeah.
Your approval?
Absolutely.
And so I'll take my primary evidence as read, and in today's summary we'll respond to the rebuttal evidence of Mr. Garth Falconer and also Ms. Vicky Jones as representing the Council's position. I've attached photographs in Figure 1 to illustrate my observations, and they're at the back of the report, and I've also, for everybody's assistance as well, I printed off an aerial photograph from Google Earth on the other side of the page of Figure 1. So in the course of our discussions we can refer to that. And my summary will focus on the proposed Wanaka Town Centre Transition Overlay, which borders the southern side of Bronson Street by the Town Centre and both sides of Russell Street. And I didn't address Site 2 that we've been talking about before simply because I seem to be getting such a long summary because there was so much to address in the rebuttal of the rebuttals. In section 2, I'll go on to my response to Mr. Falconer's rebuttal of my primary urban design evidence. And I haven't addressed everything that I could have referred to in his rebuttal, but I took the essential points that I wanted to be as brief as possible. And the first paragraph that I feel was important to address was his paragraph 3.5. And as I read my summary, I've got Mr. Falconer's rebuttal evidence beside me. So if you could just give me some guidelines on whether you'd like just a few moments to read his paragraph, or shall I proceed? Are you right?
Just keep rolling.
Keep rolling, okay. Now, first of all, I do disagree that the level change that occurs on Brownston Street is, in Mr. Falconer's terms, substantial. It is clear from the two panoramas in my figure one of views along Brownston Street that the feature that Mr. Falconer asserts as having a strong bearing on the town centre's layout is actually quite muted. The escarpment he describes terminates at the War Memorial Reserve on Charles Street. And furthermore, the toe of the escarpment has been excavated so that the land fronting Brownston Street can be easily accessed. There are no practical barriers to building on this frontage at street level, and the landform does not cause any visual isolation between the northern and southern parts of Brownston Street. The level change that concerns Mr. Falconer has, from my observations, a very minor effect on both the landscape and urban form along Brownston Street. And the vista along Brownston Street is uninterrupted, as is evident in the two views in my figure one. The feature runs through the existing town centre beside Bullet Creek to the north of Brownston Street, but has minimal effect, in my view, on town function, and will have even less influence on development on the southern side of Brownston Street. And in my view, allowing town centre development on both sides of Brownston Street will strengthen the links between the two parts of the town on either side of Bullet Creek. Addressing Mr. Falconer's paragraph 3.6, I agree the north side of Brownston Street east of Bullet Creek has in part a back of the house feel, with many properties not addressing the street or being used for car parking. However, this effect is restricted to this short section of Brownston Street, and I see no justification for using it as a reason to limit standards for future development along the south side of the street. The north side of Brownston Street, west of Bullet Creek, has a very coherent commercial form, as can be seen in Panorama A in Figure 1. Establishing the same character on the southern side of Brownston Street will create a more coherent commercial streetscape while adding usefully to the function of Wanaka Town Centre. Oops. Now going to paragraph 3.6 and 7. Mr. Falconer refers to his figure 2. And the figure 2 in his statement is misleading, as much of the empty space he identifies within Wanaka Town Centre is either public open space associated with Bullet Creek and adjoining planted walkways, or is used for parking or access. Mr. Falconer's comparison of the size of Wanaka Town Centre with that of Queenstown is not, in my opinion, useful to this discussion. Unlike Wanaka, the Queenstown CBD is severely constrained by topography, and many key town centre facilities and services are relocating to Frankton. The Queenstown Town Centre is now a tourism-focused retail area dominated by cafes, restaurants and visitor accommodation. Mr. Falconer's paragraph 3.10, he refers to my paragraph 72, and my intention in my writing this paragraph was to describe how Brownston Street has the potential to become visually balanced public realm, which is stimulating and welcoming, and of the calibre of Lower Hardball Street. This potential can, I believe, be more reliably achieved if the TCTO were in zoned town centre. And Mr. Falconer's paragraph 3.11, Russell Street is not separated from the bulk of Brownston Street by a substantial level change. This is, I dispute Mr. Falconer's assessment there. In my assessment, it is roughly the same level to the first segment of Brownston Street, which is around 25% of the length of Brownston Street within the TCTO. And Russell Street should, in my opinion, be incorporated within the town centre as it extends between two identified civic nodes and immediately borders the town centre to the east. I disagree with Mr. Falconer that it is a stretch to describe the proposed fire and police stations as civic nodes is they provide an indispensable community service and are essential elements of a civic centre. In addition, Russell Street is physically separate from the residential properties to the west on Chalmers Street due to a difference in elevation of several metres. Referring to Mr. Falconer's paragraph 319 and 320, and where he discusses the Wanaka Town Centre Character Guidelines cross-section. While the buildings, trees and lamp standards shown in this cross-section, and I've reproduced it in my primary evidence in figure 4, do afford a degree of balance across Branston Street, this balance would be greatly strengthened by allowing both sides of the street to be developed as town centre, and the proposed MDR would create a weaker character as a result of building setback, lower development density and the need for fencing to provide a physical and visual barrier between public and private space. The requirement to provide vehicle access and parking for each residential unit on each lot will further weaken built character along the TCTO and diminish visual balance across Bronston Street. Residential occupancy at street level has a need for a clear demarcation between public and private realm, as shown by the fence on the street boundary of the Town Centre, Wanaka Town Centre Character Guideline Sketch. If instead the TCTO were to become town centre, the public could experience Branston Street as public realm fully bordered by active edges. Addressing Mr. Falconer's paragraph 3.22, the restricted discretionary rules for building design would be required for both MDR and Wanaka Town Centre within the transition overlay. However, the MDR rules for setback, lower development density, on-site parking, ground level residential, resulting in inactive edges and diminished public realm, would undermine benefits achieved from quality building design details and limit overall urban design outcomes. In addition, the assessments for the developments within the MDR zone would be made, as I understand it, subjectively without benefiting from any guiding frameworks such as these character guidelines, which do support quality development in the town centre. And Mr. Going to his paragraph 3.23, I agree the number of vehicle crossings for the MDR would be the same as currently exists, however, they'd be serving multiple households, and this increase in households on both on-site vehicle access and parking requirements would limit urban design potential of the TCTO and its surroundings. And so this submission supports extending the town centre zone into the area, TCTO, as a more assured way of realising this potential. I also wanted to respond to two points within Ms. Vicky Jones's rebuttal evidence as part of my summary. Going to her paragraph 7.7, and she refers to the fact that Mr. Ian Greaves and I didn't address or see the importance of the legible edge of the town centre that is defined on the north side of Bronson Street. So it's in paragraph 7.7 that she refers to that. I do not consider that Bronson Street has an important role to play in providing a legible edge to the town centre. Rather, Branston Street, to my mind, has a primary role as a main entrance into Wanaka, and it's becoming even more significant. And as a significant part, and as such, it does have a significant part to play in contributing to the town's character. And so, responding to Branston Street's function as an entry precinct and arterial route, in my opinion, should be of the greatest priority in achieving good urban design outcomes. And this would be supported by having the town centre development on both sides of Branston Street. The legible edge between the planning zones referred to by Ms. Jones, in my view, is simply a planning construct and not reflective of good urban design. And then Vicky Jones's paragraph 719. My response to that is, as noted in my primary evidence in a few different places, once the footprint of the MDR is established with its setbacks, lower density, a barrier is effectively formed to expansion of the town centre due to the impracticality and expense required for the change. And the part of Wanaka that is the subject of the submission currently has a low level of investment and is in effect a clean slate awaiting the next chapter for development in Wanaka. This is the only area into which Wanaka Town Centre can really expand, and this potential is recognised by the proposed TCTO. And the underlying MDR zone will, however, encourage residential development while delaying commercial development and will in consequence nullify the effect of the proposed TCTO. So in conclusion, Wanaka Town Centre is the heart of the Wanaka economy and a community. It seems to me counterintuitive to the essence of good urban planning to actively prevent expansion of the town centre. And it seems to me quite clear that it is already space constrained. Removing the MDR zoning from the land subject of the submission will not significantly affect residential land supply, as there is ample land zoned for medium density residential development. And the need for the town centre to expand is confirmed by the submission from Verena, who wishes to invest in the future of Wanaka Town Centre. Decisions made in this proposed district plan will have a life of more than 50 years, and I believe it's safe to say that the population of Wanaka will continue to grow. Allowing for a more extensive town centre now to cater for this anticipated growth in population will be seen in the future, I believe, as an act of considerable foresight. It is my view that changing the MDR zone underlying the proposed TCTO along the south side of Bronson Street to Wanaka Town Centre will have significant urban planning benefits in better meeting the needs of future needs of the community, and it will also realise significant urban design outcomes. So Brownston Street is the primary entrance into the southern and western parts of Wanaka, but at present it is well described by Mr. Falconer's words in paragraph 3.6 of his evidence. The activities in this area are not very lively and they have a back of the house feel. A balanced commercial townscape along the part of Bronston Street included within the proposed TCTO will not only provide a most attractive remedy to this back-of-the-house feel, but will also address the future needs of the commercial centre of this flourishing community. That's question time.
Was there a reason you attached photographs to your summary?
Is there a reason?
You haven't talked about them.
Oh, the figure one. I referred in the mainly because the figure one was important to describe my interpretation of the level change.
Do you actually want to take us through the photos so that we see what you see?
Oh, okay.
Because we might not see what you see without you taking us.
Well, the most important thing was I thought it could concern you with the council's stance on Mr. Falconer's rebuttal of the urban design evidence. He seemed to stress that there was a substantial level change that had a strong bearing on the town centre's layout, this level change down Bronston Street. And I've got these two panoramas from Google Earth to show that there is an uninterrupted view down Bronston Street, and to show that the level change is not as substantial as I think Mr. Falconer has assessed it to be and describes it as that. Those are the main reasons. And it also shows the escarpment that I was taught of the Chalmers Street Reserve. You can see on the skyline in Panorama V, just above the house on the corner of Russell and Chalmers Street. The house being severed, and there's development in front of it. And the reason I just added this aerial photograph on that. And I was going to include it in my evidence in a formal way. That was mainly to help to assist in our understanding of the issue that Mr. Falconer raised in his paragraphs 3.6 and 3.7 in response to his figure 2, when he said that there was a lot of empty space already in the town centre. So I went to Google Earth, and it's July 2016, and it just gives more detail than his figure shows. It shows the alignment of Bullock Creek and then walkways, and it actually shows the car park, and most of the car park's full. That was the main reason. And then I thought it could be a contribution, just so we can just to remind ourselves.
Yeah, well, starting with the aerial photo, I did just want to confirm with you how you reached your conclusion. To the effect that Wanaka doesn't have much room to grow as a town centre, and this land is important to meet that demand.
Well, the conclusion...
because the council's view isn't truly aware is that there's lots of capacity in the existing town centre zone to provide it for future growth.
Looking at an overview, you've got Pembroke Park to the west, you've got the lake to the north, you've got locked in by Hedditch Escarpment to the east. So you're locked in on three sides.
But I thought the council's evidence was that, in exactly the same way Mr. Page said this morning, that a lot of the land that Marina controls is 1960s and 70s vintage that might be coming up for redevelopment soon. As I wander around the town, I would have thought that the Marina land is not the only land in town that's 1960s, 70s vintage that might be coming up for redevelopment soon. So you're suggesting that the zone needs to physically expand to accommodate growth, but the council's view is redevelopment within the existing zoned area could effectively result in a much more efficient use of land. Are you saying you don't think that's going to happen and that additional land is required?
Reading Ms. Wendy Banks' report, the rebuttal, now I feel like I'm moving out of my area of expertise.
What is that?
Well, but anyway, I did make some interpretations, but she said that what I read from her report was that the town centre car parking is full.
Right. Okay. Well, at least we know how you got that clue.
And also, the other evidence, could I just add, was the degree of commercial use of the residential properties along Brownston Street and further beyond. That, to me, is a clear indication that there is a need. And also as an urban designer, I didn't go into it any further than that.
What is the additional benefit were we to agree that the land should be rezoned to the town centre zone? Why do we need the overlay on top of it? What urban design outcomes does that achieve that just granting the zone to the town centre wouldn't provide?
There's not a regulatory planner. I think I'd like to defer to Mr. Ian Rees on that.
So you're not aware there have been any urban design reasons why you
as
didn't go over
the town centre. Oh, sorry for interrupting here.
Okay, we understand each other, that's good. Alright, so turning to your sketch 2, so figure 3 of your evidence on page 10. It's the view down what Brownston Street could become.
The one we were referring to before, yes.
Yep, so looking down what it could become, and Mr. Carr also discussed with the chair things like maybe reduced speed limits, vertical transitions like speed tables to slow things down. Some of the evidence of the council is that Brownston Street's intended to move a lot of traffic so that cars stay off Arden Street. And one of the things that hasn't really come through the evidence is the risk, if any, of Brownston Street becoming so successful in terms of the urban qualities you prefer that it becomes so slow and so sporadic that cars start diverting back to Arden Street again. A, do you think there's a risk of that happening? And B, if there is, should we care?
Yes, we should care, for sure. I pick up on the words of and Mr. Carl, traffic expert, that it's done right.
Okay.
And it needs to be done right. And I can recall examples. I lived in Melbourne, in Camberwell, and there's a very busy street down through Burke Road, and you've got these really, there's a lot of vitality in the in town centre on both sides, but it's also a very important arterial route. But with this sketch, it was a concept, and I didn't have the benefit of working with traffic engineers and all the other.
Some might say that might have helped.
However, my intention as I guided my illustrator was to ask him to use the planting in a way that not only enhanced the aesthetics of the street, but also created protection for the, but also at a detailed level, I would really appreciate the opportunity of being able to work in with traffic engineers and with the other specialists to be able to get it right, and it may be the street carriageway needs to be wider, but still have those protection mechanisms in.
Yeah, okay, well, that's a helpful answer you've just given, because one of the questions I was going to ask you was, in the work you've done, have you actually considered spatially where, for instance, a rear lane might be accommodated?
Where?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I don't know whether you would have.
I'm seeing your evidence, so I didn't see any plans to where a rear lane would go.
I think in the original submission, where this was part of an attachment.
Right, yes, it was.
Yeah, and in that, I've drawn a. We've got a rear lane.
And was that just an indicative idea, or was that where you think the rear lane should go?
Well, with the information that I had at the time, and I still have, yes, I think it would be a lovely idea.
Yeah, well, lovely idea, okay, just work on that.
Well, hang on, lovely, yeah, that's not a very helpful word. I think it would be very workable, and it would, with the 5 metre setback that we've talked about, could.
I read your evidence and took from it that you thought a rear lane was quite essential to the continuous uninterrupted frontage along Brownson Street that avoided all the vehicle crossings and parking areas at the front that we're being told we shouldn't provide for. But did I get that wrong?
Yeah, there's a bit of a difference, my saying lovely and essential. So where do I stand? Can I just think about that? I would be open to other ideas, but the key thing would be to keep that strong active edge along Brownston Street and to minimise disruptions from the traffic entering and exiting.
So if we were to, again, agree with the outcome and vision you identified, but felt that the provisions put forward didn't guarantee that they would occur if we felt they should, would you be in a position to support us, for instance, adopting the plan you've drawn and that's attached to the submission showing where a rear lane should be, and recommending the council that it should require, with rules in the plan, that there must be a rear lane to guarantee the frontage outcome you identified as at least lovely?
I have experience of living and working in areas, as well as my own study and thinking about this, that rear lanes servicing town centres with active frontage, likely active front, and really effective commercial town centres with residential behind work well. And I cannot think of another way that would be better, that there could be, but I realise we're dealing with real life here, and some compromise may have to be accepted.
So as it stands, the provisions put to us encourage a lot of things, but could still allow for each one of those 31 titles to be developed independently with 31 crossings. Would that be fatal to the urban design issue you've identified? Or the outcome you think to be promoted would be a better?
I think we could do better than the 31 crossings.
But if it happened, because your client isn't putting a method that actually would stop it, would that reduce or have no impact on your support in the town centre zone being applied? So right now, 5 metre yard doesn't require a rear lane, it doesn't stop vehicle crossings, it doesn't force landowners to work together. It might reduce the probability of them doing that, but one of the things I think we have to assess is the likelihood of agreeing with the submitter, but not actually getting the reduction or avoidance of vehicle crossings that some of the evidence has printed on. So what I want you to think about is whether were we to support the rezoning, but it eventuated with a series of one-off developments with one-off vehicle crossings, whether that would still be okay or would it not be okay?
I believe you could do better, and I would have thought that working with the council and working with that would be able to come up with some regulations that could achieve better outcome than that.
One of the things that struck me, and part of it has to do with what's public land and what's not, and you read that quickly, is as you walk down Brownson Street, it's not just the marina side that in places looks gappy and underdeveloped. There are parts of the existing town centre side of Brownson Street that seem pretty underused. And of course there's lots of reasons why land is the way it is. Would there be any urban design effect of concern if the existing town centre side stayed in its existing state of bits of development, the bits of underdevelopment, bits of car park, but the town centre actually jumps across to the marina side? And so, in effect, if you look at your figure three, what I'm really asking you is, in your visualisation, if only the left-hand side, well, I'm assuming I'm facing sort of west, but if only the marina side was developed the way you envisage it, but the existing town centre side effectively stayed the way it is, would that create any problems?
I think that it would be an improvement to Brownston Street as a whole.
Well, that's a better answer.
If the south was improved to the standard that I envisage. And because everything affects everything else. If you have a high level of development on the south, that's going to inspire, I think. And there'll be more, even, I'm imagining, commercial incentive for people to afford property owners to develop to a higher standard, this back of the house feel, I think. And they'll ultimately, a better balance will be achieved. So if we're just going to accept, this is what I was referring to in my response to Mr. Falconer. He said, it was almost, I was interpreting from his statement, that it's kind of back of the house feel anyway, and nobody's doing it, and it's not very nice development, there are a lot of gaps, so why bother? But my feeling is, do bother, set a better standard, and then the north will uplift. My feeling is that it won't just stay that way. And anyway, all of this is not going to happen overnight, just because the plans changed, I wouldn't imagine. There's going to be this gradual kind of movement in the direction of something much better, is my vision.
You, a few answers ago, in the context of how to ensure
all the landowners just don't do their own thing and result in vehicle crossings and what have you. And you express some confidence that some regulations could be worked out and people could put their head together.
Did I say that?
You did.
Oh, yes, I did.
We're, of course, in a situation where we can't say, go away and think about it. We have to effectively say what the outcome should be. So, would you be in a position where, based on the outcome you think would be ideal for Russell Street, what key characteristics do you think we, if we were to agree with you, what we should ensure are in place? To give you some idea of what you might think about, should we require that a rear lane happen? Should we put rules that limit vehicle crossings so that if people do want to provide one, they've got a huge hurdle to jump over? Should we not do anything and just trust that people will figure it out based on a good outcome? That's the kind of thing I'm asking you to help us understand. What is it we need to do to make sure the outcome you think would be a good thing happens? Not maybe we could do better than the current proposal, which is provide for it and hope it will happen. So maybe you want a minute to know about that.
I think having a clear vision to guide the planning process, and the vision that I did that was financed by Verana, that what I would consider just a start. Then with that vision in place, I think there's no reason why the council shouldn't impose the rules, but yes, there's going to be a lane. And to my mind, I don't see it as being a difficulty, but if it makes sense, that the property owners will fall in line.
Okay, so just following on from that, let's putting aside what your client might want, just getting the best of the design outcome.
Oh, yeah.
If we were to agree with you that there was potential and strong justification to do better, as you put it, but we felt on the information we had, and you know, compliment you on conceding that the work you did was part of the answer, not to the order. If we were to recommend to the council that the vision's not quite there yet, but it should go away and work with the landowners to figure out what it should be, and maybe through a future variation codify the vision and bring in the rules that would be required to deliver it, etc., would that be satisfactory purely in terms of getting the best of the design outcome? Or are you happy if we were to agree with the submitter now and just let the zone happen now and hope the vision catches up later, that would be alright too?
I feel it's important to make this decision now for town centre on the south side, and I think there's enough in that, in the concepts and the work that we've done, to support the council in moving forward and getting the kind of rules and policy, court rules in place to manage it. But I would like to, I think it could be good as a next step after that to amalgamate these ideas with the Wanaka Town Centre character guidelines. There could be some adjustments to do. And have a managed process of facilitated workshops to get the landowners working together.
Okay. No,
thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to go back to your comments in your summary statement when you were responding to Ms. Jones' rebuttal evidence, and you were referring to her paragraph 7.7, where you have acknowledged that Brownston Street's function is as an entry precinct and arterial route. So I want to make sure I've understood you correctly, that you are saying that is the function of Brownston Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I struggle a little bit with the idea that an arterial route can be transformed in a way that you are supporting without compromising that function. And I just wonder if you can take me through perhaps some other examples. You mentioned to your experience in Melbourne, but Wanaka has some constraints that have been acknowledged in other evidence relating to the two roads only that are east-west routes through the town centre, Ardmore Street and Brownston Street. So can you just help me understand where some other examples where a town centre of this size has evolved in the way that you're recommending here, with a more intensive built form and enlivenment alongside significant relatively important, significant traffic flows. It's a big question, I appreciate that, but I'm just looking for some way of putting this proposal that you're supporting in context. And I mean, I'm thinking of town centres like Taupo that I'm reasonably familiar with, which is bigger than Wanaka, of course, but it has grown from the sort of size that Wanaka is now, and so over time the arterial road functions seem to move to other roads.
Taupo. It is within the last decade, it has got the bypass, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
It has, but there's still a lot of traffic that comes through along the lakefront and through the retail centre. It's a bit different, isn't it? It goes from the lake being on the left side if you're moving, travelling north and then park.
I'm not suggesting that Taupo is comparable in that sense, but what I'm trying to really come back to here is whether it's whether the urban design outcomes that you're supportive of are achievable given the important arterial function that Brownston Street has and will continue to have in the future.
The other example that did come to mind was Rotorua. I don't know if you're familiar with that coming in from
Rotorua,
Fenton Street. And then it's got a really quite impressive entry feel now. It's really come, I was there recently, and it's got a beautiful balance to the on either side of the street, and then it moves from, as you keep traversing down the street, you move into the town centre, and there's balance on either side, and there's quite a strong sort of sense of arrival and feeling of and the street is wide and it is spacious, but it's got a median strip in the middle as well. My feeling is, because for many people using these when we use these arterial routes, we're using them frequently, and for the people that live here, it's much more convenient to use Brownston Street than going around Ardmore Street, and for visitors, we want you to get across. And so they do also, as well as for managing the traffic in an efficient way, they do have a really important role in terms of expressing the character. What is Wanaka? Because after a while you use Arden Street because it's beautiful and you want to get that sensation of the gorgeous view out into the lake. But after a while it's not so convenient because you know you want. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so the more frequent route that you take will be down Bronson Street. And so if we're more frequently going down a street that has a back of the house sort of neglected, nowhere kind of space, and its function has been the focus of the planners and developers and the people that are managing where the town goes. If the focus is too much on just the traffic and not thinking about the overall character, then that's the impression that we're giving people of the town. But yes, we do need to manage the traffic.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I think we can leave that there, and I don't want you to. I'm not asking you to become a traffic expert or anything.
Yeah.
It's more the urban design outcomes. But leading on from that, and you just mentioned the visitor experience versus that of a permanent resident. So, just talking then about the visitor experience of wanting to arrive in Wanaka, but then pass through Wanaka. Can you just take me through how you would expect a visitor to respond, particularly during the peak times? I would imagine that for a visitor, that experience would be part of the memory of being here. So if you've got a tourist who's passing through for one time in a blue moon, that would be different from a regular visitor. But tell me how you, if your concept does eventuate, and there is built for both sides, and perhaps the road function is pedestrianised a bit more, and all of these enhancements that would make it a more lively space. How do you think that would cause a visitor to respond that wants to get through the town centre? Do you see any difficulty with that, if that becomes Brownson Street is the main arterial route? So somebody that's arriving in Brownson Street is then not quite sure whether they're in the main on the main road to get through the town.
Do you think, I'm not sure of your question because I feel I want to answer it, but I feel I've already said that, so I feel I haven't quite understood your question. Are you saying that it could be confusing to a visitor to not know?
I'm just trying to understand that based on your urban design concept for Brownson Street, in the Verena land, that road will have two functions,
mm-hmm.
as an arterial road and to become much more lively and pedestrianised.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking you to help me understand what, from your point of view as an urban designer, that does to people's response when they're not familiar with the locality.
I think it is an important arterial route, that's said, isn't it? It's an important, and as such it's become an important entrance to visitors.
Well, that seems to be from the evidence that we've got before us, there aren't alternatives.
No.
This Arden Street or this Brownson Street.
I have sort of looked and wondered if in the future you could get more of an east-west, but that's with three parks, but it's not safe. Yes, we have those are the two roads, and it is so practical, Brownston Street. But I do need, and because it is so heavily used, to my mind, this is a beautiful place, and a lot of people are coming here because of its sheer beauty. And I think the development needs to respond to that. And I think that the road, as long as traffic requirements can be accommodated, I feel, well, it did sound rather, in my view, it would be a much more attractive road if we had that balance.
Well, let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
Now, talking about it being a beautiful place, one of the things that struck me is illustrated in your second figure, Panorama B, looking southwest. Looking straight down Brownston Street, you have a spectacular landscape right in the forefront of your view. So, would the built forms that you've illustrated have any adverse effect on that experience of you looking down Brownston Street with the built form that's up against the street and then potentially verandas over the street as well?
When I look at that, I think that the built form could focus the view and also the mountains would be over the top, but it would also, when we look at that, it's quite a wide, it's still going to be a wide carriageway. And you could actually use the design of the built as you're coming along that higher part of Brownston Street, and you have development right up to the edge. It could be used to dramatise the view and the entrance into that street. But as I see it, that built form would open out at Bullet Creek, so you have a more spacious feeling there. And then it's relatively short segments of the town centre that you'll be passing through, and then as people traverse Brownston Street, it would open out again at Pembroke Park, and you have the views to the lake and the unobstructed views. So I see it as a way of opening and closing the building.
So do you see any need to acknowledge that particular view in any way through the rules or the provisions that are sought by Verena? Or for that matter on the other side of the road?
I don't think it's going to be harmed. So that I think the gains would outweigh it, and I think you'll still get the glimpse. There'll be enough of a glimpse of that view, and then you'll be drawn through. The traffic will be moving through, and then you'll get the full view. There'll be the glimpse, and then the view, full view, as you move down Brownston Street. I don't think it can be. There'll be enough of that still from the carriageway.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Corson.
Ms. Corson, I was noting your reference to clearly insufficient space in the town centre, and you've taken issue with Mr. Faulkner in that regard, so I understand the point. The question I have for you is, where does Three Parks fit in this? Because my understanding was that the council had made a previous policy decision to provide for a very substantial increase in the commercial services in the town, but at an alternative centre at Three Parks. So can you explain that to me? That's an open-ended question, because the message is, like, it seems inconsistent to me that you're saying, well, you ought to be providing for extension of the town centre, but isn't that what the council's doing at Three Parks? As instead of an incremental expansion of the town centre to the south side of Brownston Street.
In my primary evidence, I refer to Three Parks, commercial centre. Coming from an urban design perspective, I'm of the view that the town centre needs to expand to the south side of Brownston Street for a more effective urban design outcome. And I think I described in my primary evidence that this edge, the edge of the town centre, at Wanaka town centre, has a feeling of being incomplete. And as that was confirmed by Mr. Garth Falconer, he described it as a back of the house, as a back of the house sort of feeling. And so, as I understand it, and from what I can see, the Three Parks Town Centre, they're putting a lot of effort into having quality urban design, and I should imagine it's going to have quite positive and powerfully positive outcomes from an urban design point of view. Wanaka Town Centre, the traditional centre that we're sitting in at the moment, has the advantage of this magnificent setting right beside the lake, and it seems to me the most desirable place in the town centre, and it's in all the objectives and the policies confirm that, that it's where the cultural heart needs to be and the commercial centre needs to be. And so in supporting this Verina submission, I feel quite comfortable, because I feel the missing piece of the jigsaw at the moment to make sure that Wanaka Town Centre stays as the commercial and cultural heart of Wanaka and doesn't lose ground to the Three Parks, I feel. It really does need to have that completeness, that sense of completeness, as that piece of the jigsaw and get the town. I don't think, to my mind, the residential won't do it. Having the medium density residential edge along the south of Bronston Street wouldn't quite do it. It would, as I said in my summary, it just doesn't, to my mind, doesn't have that balance. There's a kind of a weakness. To my mind, it needs to have that balanced edge. And then that, now in question, have I answered that? Where does Three Parks fit into it? It's important that the objectives and the policies are for Three Parks not to undermine the traditional town centre. But as I see it, I've got no figures to support this. It's my instinct, and it's my assessment, my urban design assessment of that street. It's a rough edge, and it just it would benefit from this different type of development from what's being proposed in the district plan.
Is it as simple as that you would advocate that, irrespective? I don't mean to say advocate in the pejorative sense. Hasten to add that you would support the Verina relief, irrespective of whether there was demand and how that and policies as to how that demand should be catered for from an urban design perspective.
Properties along there, largely commercial, I would support it because I see there are substantial urban design advantages.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, finished.
And addressing the whether there's demand or not, I would make the judgment. We've got to make judgments on everything in life. Nothing's black and white. There's a very strong indications to me that there is demand. But certainly, I'm clear that from the urban design point of view, the design point of view, the town's type of development just makes it work better. From urban design and the balance.
And in terms of your statement, the dominant land use, can you give us some numbers? The 31 properties, how many of them are currently used for commercial purposes?
I don't think I see that anywhere in my report, and it hasn't lodged in my brain, so I don't. But I hazard a guess at 80%, but that is a guess, and I would prefer somebody else. But it is up there in terms of being at that level, I would say, 80%. But that's, I haven't got the figures.
Right.
Definitely.
Strongly more than half.
Oh, yes.
And there's one last point that I want to raise with you that I've puzzled. Your paragraph 36 of your evidence in chief. Saying, talking about if the zone remains as is, developers seeking consideration of valid variances need to make a non-complying application with unsure chance of approval being granted. Yes, and a non-complying application, we certainly have that. But it's the next sentence that took my eye. In practice, the rules of the DRO underlay would determine the predominant characteristics of the TCTO and not the objectives and policies. I wrote it one margin. Why? Why would they have that outcome? Why wouldn't the objectives and policies have a stronger role? And maybe you wanted to defer to Mr. Greaves, because the other question is, do you have the expertise to have an opinion on the question?
Yes.
I
want to
have your answer that down the track, if you'd like me to.
Yeah, I would defer to, and I apologise when I do make these transitions that I shouldn't, into other areas, but I was struggling to sort out, in writing this report, what is actually going to happen here, and that was my interpretation.
So we'll leave that.
Talking to Mr. Greaves too.
We'll leave that one to Mr. Greaves to grapple with. Any final questions?
Just one arising your discussion with the chair about the proportion of those properties that already have commercial use within them. You've described the rezoning proposition in terms of a need to expand the town centre. But most of that is already commercial. Is it not more correct to say that the rezoning would be about recognising what's already there more than expanding the town centre, given if it's already commercial in real terms? What are we expanding other than a line on that?
The way you put it, I have to agree. However, wouldn't it be appropriate to have it formalised by the appropriate zoning?
Well, the council proposed zone with a medium density overlay that it says commercial is permitted does that too, I suppose. I imagine the council will argue, but I think you've answered my question, so it would be fair to say the rezoning is as much recognising what's already there as actually growing the tenancy to it.
Yeah, so I can't.
A stronger open
But wouldn't it be good to have the right form?
Yeah, we'd like to think we're doing that for all of Wanaka. Nothing else.
One follow up, if I may. You were talking about the right built form just then, and I just wondered whether, in your observation, the type of activity that's currently present is to be expected around the edges of a town centre. I mean, I can personally think of a number of examples where that's not only occurred, but it's recognised as being an appropriate, in some district plans, as an appropriate transition between a fully commercial, and we're talking here about transitions, I know that, but where the actual built form of having commercial within residential buildings is actually recognised as an appropriate transition in its own right. Are you able to comment on that from an urban design perspective?
From the urban design perspective, it just does concern me having, there could well be a predominance. It seemed to me that with the MDR zoning, there'd be this predominance, there could be a predominance of residential at ground level. That to me, and then also the setback. It weakens the public realm because there's a need for privacy. Understandably, if people are sleeping behind the wall 3 metres from the street edge, then they want some kind of physical barrier or privacy, and that reduces the dynamism, the vitality, because half the street is like that. And then the other thing is that Mr. Page referred to that 3 metres. People, developers, there's a big risk that they'll turn it into car park. And that, in my assessment, just really kills, I apologise for using extreme language, it weakens the aesthetics, the urban design, positive. Having cars in front of the building, and then also not having that private space, needing to create that private space as well. Now, did I answer your question?
Well, I hear what you're saying. I don't want to take it any further, but clarified my question. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this question. I wonder, Mr. Page, if we should ask Mr. Greaves to present his summary before lunch and then we'll come back and ask him questions after lunch.
Sure.
So, at 1.2. It is my opinion that the Wanaka medium density residential town zone town centre transition overlay should be replaced with the Wanaka town centre zone with the new transition overlay. A new objective, policies and rules are recommended to be included in the Wanaka town centre zone relating to the transition overlay area.
These provisions are designed to manage traffic, to manage urban design, traffic,
car parking and the interface between the proposed zone and the adjoining residential site. I have reviewed the rebuttal evidence of Ms. Jones, Mr. Faulkner and Ms. Banks for the council with regards to this submission and respond where relevant in a summary of evidence. I consider the proposed Wanaka Town Centre Zone transition overlay with the provisions outlined in paragraphs 46 and 47 of my primary evidence will provide a planning framework that will have a positive contribution to the function, appearance and vitality of the Wanaka Town Centre and provide for long-term commercial growth. The proposed MDR TCTO planning framework, in my opinion, would consume Wanaka's best remaining land within direct proximity to Wanaka's town centre with an inefficient commercial zone. In some ways, I consider Council's position on the proposed MDR TCTO as closely aligned with my opinions. The very fact that Council is promoting the zone indicates the belief that this area of Wanaka at some point in the future will form part of the Wanaka town centre. This is implicitly implied with the terminology town centre transition. By its definition, a transition is the process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. This transition, in my opinion, started in the past decade with several commercial operations establishing in this area. The difference in views between myself and the council is I consider now is the correct time to provide a town centre planning framework that will result in good design outcomes and long-term town centre growth opportunities. Paragraph 29 of my primary evidence sets out the PDP rule framework for the MDR TCTO. It is Ms. Corson's view that these rules, including a 3-metre road setback, 45% building coverage, recession plans and on-site car parking, will have a negative impact on the urban design values of the submission area and fail to achieve a balanced entry precinct into Wanaka. Whilst I accept that Rule 8.4.25 of the MDR chapter will provide an opportunity to consider urban design outcomes at a resource consent level, what the MDR rule framework does is provide a foundation and design envelope with which designers will work to. This foundation, based on Ms. Corson's evidence, will create a poor urban design response for this area. The planning framework under the Wanaka Town Centre Zone Transition Overlay provides a greater scope to achieve the positive design outcomes for the submission area that Ms. Corson has outlined in her evidence. I agree with Ms. Jones in paragraph 7.5 of her rebuttal evidence that the proposed MDR TCTO zoning will contribute more residential capacity to Wanaka than the town centre zoning. However, I do not share Ms. Jones's concerns that the town centre zoning promoted within the submission will adversely affect the supply of housing within proximity to the Wanaka town centre. The PDP proposes a significant area of new medium density zoning south of Brownson Street. This zoning area covers approximately 35 hectares, excluding the MDR TCTO, and is all within less than 1 kilometre of the town centre. In my opinion, the loss of residential capacity by the proposed rezoning is insignificant in this context. I agree with Ms. Jones that at this stage it's difficult to preempt the future provisions for car parking under the PDP given it is a stage 2 matter. However, I consider the provisions recommended in this submission provide a robust solution for accessing car parking in light of Mr. Carr's evidence. A proliferation of commercial car parks and access points within the submission area is not supported by Mr. Carr and in my opinion is not a good outcome for Wanaka. Ms. Jones identifies that Rule 14.2.4 IVE of the Operative District Plan provides a mechanism that one-third of car parking required for visitor accommodation and residential development can be located off-site. Ms. Jones considers this as a suitable outcome for the MDR TCTO. I do not agree, as this merely reduces the number of car parking spaces required on each site, although not for commercial activities, and will not eliminate the proliferation of car parks and access points within the submission area. In my opinion, there are real benefits in rezoning the MDR TCTO to the Wanaka Town Centre Zone. This position is supported by urban design evidence by Ms. Corson and traffic evidence by Mr. Carr. Ms. Corson considers this zoning approach would give visual balance, spatial definition and a stimulating town entrance. Mr. Carr has considered the traffic and parking effects of the submission and concluded that the proposed town centre zone better achieves both efficient and safety on the surrounding road network. Overall, I consider the proposed rezoning as requested within the submission as the most effective way of addressing the strategic direction chapter of the PDP. on making the most of growth opportunities within Wanaka and promoting good future design outcomes. It is my opinion that the zone change, when assessed against the requirements of Section 32, is consistent with achieving the purpose of the Resource Management Act. Now I turn to the medium density residential zone. My evidence also addresses the appropriateness of the proposed low density residential zoning on the corner of Upton, McDougall and Brownson Street as shown in Figure 1 of my primary evidence. An extension of the MDR zone over this area, in my opinion, delivers on the PDCP's long-term goal of delivering a compact urban form that is consistent with and gives effect to the Council's strategic direction chapter, the proposed urban development chapter and the proposed regional policy statement. With the exclusion of visitor accommodation provisions from stage one of the PDP review, I accept that any visitor accommodation use from this area is best dealt with cohesively under stage two of the PDP review.
Happy to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Greaves. We'll adjourn now. Restart at 5 to 2.